The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
For many years, the SAT was explained and advertised as being an aptitude test, a very prominent predictive feature of getting a high test score is family income. The College Board has admitted, and the ACT have admitted this for years. This is not a secret that's being divulged. If I were appointed czar of American college admissions, I would abolish standardized testing. It would mean that all of these wealthy test prep companies would have to find something else to do.
Hi, I'm George Chen, and you're listening to SupDoc, a show where we discuss and dissect documentaries chosen by our guests from the worlds of comedy, film, TV, and more. And today we are covering the Operation Varsity Blues, the college admissions scandal. This is on Netflix, and it was put out just recently. Over 50 people faced criminal charges in 2019 for involvement in this conspiracy. Mastermind Rick Singer funneled money from wealthy families to bribe coaches and admission officers at major universities throughout America. And some of the people indicted included the actors Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin. That's probably what most of you know about this. This is the first documentary to tackle the story head-on, and it's made by one of our favorite documentary directors, Chris Smith. And joining us to discuss the film today is comedian and writer Aviva Siegel. Her comedy has been featured in SF Sketchfest, the All Jane Comedy Festival, the Asheville Comedy Festival, and Out of Bounds Comedy Festival. She also writes for The Hard Times, Reductress, and co-runs the Zoom show Talkies with me. Welcome to SupDoc, Aviva.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Yeah. I should also mention that you started the podcast. You have a new podcast that you just started.
That's true. It's Ad Wizard, the Ad Wizards podcast. It's about commercials.
And what did you do your interview with the Noid yet? Or is that like
I did that today.
So
yeah,
I think everyone remembers the Noid, hopefully. The claymation dude, little red
guy. I hope so. He was wondering if people remember the Noid. He's like, do your friends like know? He's like, sometimes I bring up the Noid and people have no idea what I'm talking about. But I think if you're like 30 to 50 years old, you probably know about the Noid.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Gen Z doesn't get the Noid. No Gen Z.
No.
This is like the... We talk about generations.
Happy to talk about the Noid.
No, we talk about generations all the time, like on this show. It's just an annoying thing. We talk about what generation we are constantly.
I know.
So this film, we were talking about it the other day randomly. I'm like, oh, you have to just come and talk about this because, A, I couldn't get Paco to watch it because it's like not necessarily something I recommend to most people.
Yeah.
It was such a disorienting experience the first time I watched this that I was like, I don't know whether I can recommend this to anyone. And also, I don't know what I feel like the point was missing somehow. Like, it felt very scattered. What was your take on your first attempt to watch this film?
I walked into it, first of all, only kind of knowing the... what most people know about that scandal, which is that Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman went to jail. Mm-hmm. I didn't, know the details about the other like 48 people who were charged. But walked into it with kind of not very much knowledge of the scandal and not much knowledge of the documentary. So I was kind of like shocked to see the reenactment element. I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure that's Matthew Modine. And then I was like, okay, it's like Matthew Modine, pretty sure. I'm like, okay, it's a bowl cut. Got the bowl cut was distracting for a while. Mm-hmm, I was like, okay, mm-hmm, I guess that's what Rick Singer looks like. And then I looked up a picture of Rick Singer and I was like, he doesn't really have that haircut, but I guess that's a choice they made in the documentary. I feel like took a while for them to kind of get to the meat of the scandal in the documentary, but I thought it was interesting. You know, I think like people hear about the scandal not knowing I didn't really understand the details of how it worked with the sports recruitment stuff and photoshopping photos of the students and all that in order to get in, because I think people, when I've talked to them about the scandal, they're just like, yeah, no shit, people like pay off people to get their kids into college. So like, who wouldn't assume that?
Mm-hmm. That I was surprised by the range of like, yeah, like it does seem like kind of like it's like also a bunch of private schools. There were some public schools mixed in there. So at first I was like, who cares about like, you know, it's already a racket. A private school is already a racket. But then there was like UCLA and Berkeley were involved and a couple of schools like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting. The photoshopping was probably the funniest part of it to me.
And that was just the credits basically had the photoshopping in it. Yeah,
I know. Early on. There should have been more
photoshopping. That's the thing I was missing. I would have been more.
I would have loved to see more of the photoshopped photos and. Yeah, I would have loved to see that. I would have loved that gig. I would have loved to Photoshop those photos. I think that would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah. I love the adjusting the gradient on a teenage torso. Like, yeah, like he should be more submerged in the water.
I know. That was insane. I mean, when I was watching it, I found myself, it seemed like some parents told their kids what was going on. Some kids had no idea what was going on. And I found myself feeling really bad for the kids who had no idea what was going on, because they are just living their lives like, I got this great score on the SATs. I got into my like top choice college. I'm so smart and capable. I can do no wrong. And then they find out, oh, not only am I not as smart as I thought I was, but my parents don't even believe in me.
Yeah, yeah, that was also like how frank some of the parents are. Those are some great lines, like when the mom's like, so her sister's smarter than her and she would have figured it out. But with her, you know, she really needs this push. It's like, so people are so like, when they don't think anyone's recording them, why would you assume anyone's recording you also? I'm just committing a crime. Why would I assume someone's recording me? Oh, man, I was just baffled at like the FBI deciding that this is what they were going to take on. I guess it was just like a lot of loose money lying around. It's like it's more like there's definitely like bribing a private institution, I guess, is bad. Do I think we can agree that's bad? But it also seems like, how many resources went into this whole sting operation? And it's like, in the end, it's like people doing some jail time. It should have just been, if it was a financial crime, it should have just been fines, right? Like, I feel like I don't know if it did any good to put, I'm not trying to say like that I have a lot of sympathy for these white collar parents, you know, like going to jail for like 2 weeks. Oh, boohoo, like pretty nice jail. But at the same time, it's like, was that useful to society at all in the end?
Right. It just felt like one of those things, like they are setting an example, I guess, by putting these people in jail. Like, but I didn't like seeing Felicity Huffman go to jail. I was like, I've seen her on TV. I don't want to see her in jail.
It feels weirdly like, how come William H. Macy got off scot-free in this whole thing? Like, it's like, blame the woman again. Like, oh, the mom clearly pushed the kid into that. Yeah.
That's something I was also wondering about, because he was, I mean, clearly, you know, I saw a lot of footage of him showing up with her to court, holding her hand. I'm like, okay, he's supporting his wife. I guess like are we to like assume that she just went behind his back and did this? Like, because, or I guess he just must have had zero involvement in it, because both Lori Loughlin and Mossimo, something.
Yeah. Massimo.
What's his last name?
Well, I just know he's Massimo. Is Massimo. Yeah. That's a clothing
he's
brand,
Massimo.
Right? Massimo. Yeah.
It's a massive Massimo. Clothing brand. I mean, because
I... It's a massive clothing... Sorry.
It's a... Yes. It
it's
is.
A massive.
Well, because I didn't... I would look at... Because I, you know, I heard Lori Loughlin, when I heard she was involved in this scandal and that she'd, you know, spent this amount of money, I was like, oh, I guess she must have made some money off like Full House residuals or whatever.
No,
but then I was like, oh no,
her
husband is Massimo of the Target Massimo, which is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, like William H. Macy, it's like, it's not, like, you know, is it, he's done a lot, but you know, it's not Fargo money. Yeah. Getting your kid in school. Maybe it is.
Yeah,
there was when I saw the other people that were not as famous, but were just richer. Like, was it someone said the Hot Pockets one? Was someone from Hot Pockets
yeah,
involved?
The Hot Pockets lady went to jail. She went to jail.
Oh man. I was also thinking about this. I'm like, I just saw, did you watch Judas and the Black Messiah?
No.
Do you know that film? It's like about the FBI, COINTELPRO, like going after Fred Hampton. And it's like, oh, like this is the same FBI, right? Like they go after like Fred Hampton and Felicity Huffman. I'm like, this is a very broad net of things. I'm like, there's too much going on in the FBI. And also just being like I just watched this film where the FBI is a villain. And the collaborator is this like central character. And then now I'm watching this other film reenactment where the FBI is sort of the hero. And then like the main, I'm like, this is like Departed. He's like the Whitey Bulger of college admissions. He's like, getting like, oh, I'll rat everyone else out. And then he hasn't done any jail time yet. And he's like clearly the center of the entire thing. The Rick Singer, or also a small pet peeve. He's known as William Rick Singer. I'm like, Rick is short for Richard. Bill is short for William. So pick one. Like why are you going? Why are you mixing and matching Rick Singer? That's all I want to know.
Good note. yeah, I even though I guess he was doing the right thing when he was ratting when he was. You know, wired and exposing people working for the FBI. I was like, you spineless little rat. How dare you?
Yeah, like he's like the worst. He's definitely like the worst offender. Like as much as I don't have a lot of sympathy for other people that are implicated in most of this, clearly like none of this would have happened without this main guy. Who the FBI is just like, sure, just give me as many people as possible. Let's get everyone to do... like several months in jail instead of like, I don't know, creating a college or like paying for public education to be free. Like, wouldn't that be like a better solution? Let's have like an egalitarian education system. Like for as much money has been dumped into this stupid process. Ugh.
I know. And also the lengths these people are going to get their kids into like a decent college. I'm like, I don't know if you can relate. To the, because, you know, then there are all the videos in the documentary of kids like awaiting their college acceptance or rejection emails. And they're like in tears. I did not personally have that experience. I was like very lax about the college admit. I mean, I went to the Evergreen State College, which is a college with no grades.
yes. What was that process like? What is the admission process? At I'm like, if like, someone bribed someone to get into Evergreen, that would be amazing. Like, who do you bribe to get into Evergreen? Like, well, I just bought the back catalog of K Records. Can I get into Evergreen now? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just put a quarter into a tree stump and you get in.
I've dropped a penny in the well.
Yeah, I think everyone gets in. And if you don't get in, I mean,
look, you could have applied to teach there at 18, probably.
Totally. I mean, I loved Evergreen, but I did not have an experience where the admissions process was like life or death for me.
What did you do any SAT prep?
I think I maybe met with someone once, but again, like my parents did not put academic pressure on me, and I did not. I was someone who got like decent grades, and but I never felt like a huge sense of pressure. Definitely not from my parents. I always like finished my homework, but I never. They never were like, you need to get into a good school, and you need to, like, they had no idea what I was doing or what classes I was taking or anything. I mean, I could have done badly if I wanted to, and they would have been fine with that. But, yeah, no pressure from my parents whatsoever.
Yeah, like with, yeah, like the amount of, well, you have, did your older sister, is it older sister or younger sister, your older sister?
Older.
Did she go to a fancy school?
She went to a private school because she just happened to get there. They had enough money to send like one kid to private school. Mm. And then when I came around, they were like, no, not you.
She'll end up being a comedian. It's fine.
I mean, it's fine. But, you know, she went to this school, Harvard Westlake in L.A., which is like a pretty prestigious private school. I mean, I'm not bad-mouthing my sister. She did not get good grades there. She maybe had like a 2-point-something GPA. So you guys bet on the wrong horse if you're, I'm just saying, you should have put your bucks on this one.
We've lost one listener, yes.
Oh, God, I hope she doesn't listen to this.
Based on our numbers, she does not, yeah.
Yeah, she did go to a private school where I think kids felt a lot of academic pressure. And I think, like, kids were, like, committing suicide over the pressure they felt from, like, going to Harvard Westlake.
Oh, man. But, yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, I don't think anyone committed suicide at my high school, but I did go to like a college preparatory Catholic school, is run by Jesuits. But I, you know, so there was obviously like some built-in pressure already at that point. Like, I'm like, it's called a college preparatory school. Everyone better get into a college. That's kind of the whole point. And it's expensive. And also, I wasn't Catholic, so there was a lot of extra stuff that I didn't need. I'm like, oh, if you just want the college, don't send me here. Yeah, I did do Princeton Review. I remember that was a thing. Like, a lot of people around me were like, well, you got to do Princeton Review. Everyone was doing the Princeton Review. And it was like, it really was just like kind of just teaching you the best tactics for like guessing at multiple choice. Because a lot of the SAT was multiple choice. And it was like, okay, this is just like, let's just try logic of like eliminating things in a multiple choice option. There was a little bit of like actual studying, but a lot of it was just like, okay, just go with your gut on these things. And I think like that, great. That's like, there's so many of these companies. I forgot about these companies. It's been so long since I've done this that I'm like, I forgot about like Kaplan and all these other companies that existed that I guess still exist, that I guess Rick Singer started semi-legitimately in Sacramento. When I think about the fact that he started in Sacramento, it's like, are these all like children of like state officials? Is that part of it? Maybe like he's got a taste for the power. But also he started as like a basketball coach. So like his whole angle in was like on what he knew what colleges needed for like recruiting people. Matthew Modine, what did you think of his performance as Rick Singer?
I thought it was fine. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's that much. It doesn't take much to be Rick Singer in terms of acting performance. Just like slap on some basketball shorts and get on the phone, I guess, and like talk
get
to
the
Massimo.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Get the weird bowl cut or wait, what did you call it?
Oh, just the haircut. Yeah. The Caesar.
Oh, I the haircut.
Yeah. Yeah. Called the, I think I've heard it called the Caesar, yeah.
Oh, the Ham. Do you say Hamlet?
Oh, the Caesar.
You said Caesar.
The Hamlet. It is also Hamlet. I think Hamlet has had that haircut too. Yeah,
I think so. I mean, yeah, it doesn't. There's not a whole lot of like emotional range with Rick Singer, so I feel like Matthew Modine had a pretty easy job. Yeah, a lot of it was on the phone. And sometimes I think he ate a bowl of soup once in a cafe. I think he did a good job doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, Matthew Modine, known for his eating acting, just like Robert Downey Jr. No, I thought, like, at first I was thinking, did they shoot this during COVID and that's why it's all phone calls? Because I'm like, oh, well, then that gives you the opportunity to do a lot of these single shots where you don't have a lot of actors in the same room. But I don't think that's actually what happened. It seems like they were working on this in 2019 because there are, like, group shots. Yeah, a lot of the acting I felt like lacked much of anything. And it was like they were really sticking to very literal, like, transcripts, and that had to be part of it. They didn't have tapes to recreate from, so they were just, like, turning it into a weird play. And, like, that felt a little, like, off to me. At the same time, yeah, it's, like, such a challenging, like, just amount of people and concepts to try to throw together in 90 minutes. So I was more harsh on it the first time I watched it. Then the second time, I'm like, well, shit, if you gave me this assignment, I have no idea how I would conceptualize this. It gives it a through line and it gives it something to kind of latch onto. But I was just watching the scene again where, like, Matthew Modine is, like, talking to the Yale running coach, and he's just like,
yeah,
I'm lost in London. I don't know where. I got to go in a roundabout. And he's just like, yeah, man, you should get some Swedish girl. I'm just like, what is happening right now? Why? And that was just a segue into introducing another character. But was like such weird choices. Such a weird choice for a guy who I generally like his films. Like, Chris Smith made American Movie. He made Home Movie, which we also loved. This is close to like the Fyre Festival. It feels like Chris Smith kind of just was like, you get the scammer beat. You're on the scammer beat for a while.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I would never guess that the guy who made American Movie made this documentary, because that's like one of the best documentaries I've ever seen, probably.
Yeah. And
this.
Maybe because it's like, this is about rich people and they're boring. Like, that's maybe part of the problem. Like, the most interesting character we never really get to know very well is the guy who pretends, who wants to be rich. And then a bunch of other people that are already rich. Speaking of people that are already rich, I think we were talking about a clip of Lori Loughlin and Mossimo's daughter, Olivia Jade, who I didn't know anything about before any of this. Did you know about Olivia Jade before this?
No. No, I didn't know about her. She looks exactly like her mom.
Oh, yeah. It's weird. Yeah.
Looks just like her mom. I did not know about her. Now I have, like, kind of scoured her TikTok and her lifestyle videos on YouTube, which is, I don't know if you've seen any of those, but, like, if you go on TikTok and go to Olivia Jade's account, they're like, all the comments are like, oh, like, how's the rowing team going? Like, oh, like, you know, it's all about rowing and it's all about USC. And it's like, it's people talking about that. And then occasionally someone's like, leave her alone. Like, blah, blah, blah. But it's mostly like, how's rowing? Love rowing. Love what you've done with rowing.
I love your coxswain work, which I always thought was coxswain. That's how little I know about rowing. Let's play a clip of Olivia Jade.
I like to curl my fake lash with my real lashes.
Olivia Jade is an extremely successful YouTube influencer, and she had millions of followers watch these videos where she would, you know, get up, brush her teeth, do her morning makeup routine, pick out outfits. So it's this very diary-like thing, but with the added benefit of branding opportunities.
I created my own collection with Princess Polly. I get to reveal and announce my highlight palette with Sephora Collection.
She's the child of the actress Lori Loughlin and the fashion designer Massimo Giannulli. They supposedly had both of their daughters, Olivia Jade and Bella, pose on a rowing machine and sent these pictures to Rick Singer and had them accepted into USC as coxswains.
I actually went to high school with Olivia Jade, and I know the school she was at. I saw a picture of Olivia Jade's sister on the wall with the seniors, and it was like, congratulations for getting into USC. And then I remember hearing later that Olivia had also gotten into USC. And I was like, whoa, because USC is extremely hard to get into. So not only one sister, but both of them.
Off to school.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right. It was weird that the only really two people they could get to do actual interviews that were involved in any of this stuff. Firstly, there was Patricia Logan, who, you know, was very, very minimally involved in any of this. She just kind of like unfortunately met Rick Singer on a dating app. I don't know, maybe a Bumble or something. And then met probably OkCupid based on the timing of this. Then we met John Vandermore, who chose to do an interview. And I love that in his interview, he's basically just like, yeah, no, there's people higher up than me at Stanford that are in this.
Yeah.
Go after them. And I'm just like this nice family man. And to be fair, he did not personally benefit at all from any of this. Like,
I know. I found myself feeling bad for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Because it's like he didn't enrich himself. The money was going to his sailing program, which was sustaining his salary. I don't know. I don't associate Palo Alto with sailing. I don't know if most people do. But yeah, it seemed like he would have been better off just staying on the East Coast, being like a private sailing instructor than just ending up – when you end up in a Netflix doc when you're like in a hotel room or whatever and just they do the thing – the documentary move now where they like have you sitting down and be like, okay, is this working? Is everything good? Like, then people don't right. trust you immediately. That's like the new trope, which I kind of do love, like for all the talking head footage in here that's, you know, they worked in everything. They have reenactments. They got the talking head, no animations. So very few drone shots, very few animations, a lot of YouTube footage.
Yes.
Yeah. John, I felt bad for, but also like, if you were John, would you talk to this film crew?
Let me think. Because he was charged, right?
He was like the first. He's the one that kind of like was charged while the story was breaking or something. Like he went in to get his hearing. Like he was like one of the first people in there. And he got off with like basically house arrest, I think. Yeah.
Okay. It could be a situation where like he wanted to like clear his name in case maybe he couldn't find work or something after the scandal. And he wanted to like clear his name and be like, listen, these were my intentions. And like our department was underfunded. And I like, you know, I didn't really want to help these rich kids so much as like fund my salary and my department, which is like, I don't think there's, I mean, he shouldn't have done it, but it's not like, it's not like he was getting paid 20 grand a month like that one lady at USC, right. I guess.
Or like making a commission on the ones that get in or anything like that.
Right.
And he does like basically imply that he was like kind of shit on by the athletic director. And then so he's just like, yeah. Also, this guy knew Rick Singer. He said he knew Rick Singer. Talk to him. That's basically his approach, which I think is fair. I think that's the only reason to go in front of a documentary film crew is you want to throw someone else under the bus. That's basically the best rationale to do it.
Definitely. Yes.
Did you watch the Fyre Festival documentary?
I watched both Fyre Festival documentaries.
As did I. There is something meatier about the hubris of Billy McFarland, because it was like that kind of like cocaine-y, like, yeah, everyone will come and then we'll just like watch the house of cards tumble together and I'll just like walk away. Whereas this is like, it was like methodical and just like boring white collar crime on some level. The fact that like, you know, the only celebrities, we named the two celebrities involved, you know, in the very beginning of this. It's like, then there's a bunch of people you haven't heard of. There was like the Hot Pockets lady, you know, and some other like, you know, some East Coast, you know, people that like ended up doing jail time. I don't know.
I know. If we're comparing Rick Singer with Billy McFarlane, it's like, well, with Rick Singer, he's like exploiting, I guess not really exploiting rich people, kind of exploiting rich people.
Sort of.
And also, I guess, you know, or at least he's figured out this business model where he's making bank off rich people and private, sometimes public universities, which like, I don't really feel as bad about. I mean, Fyre Festival, the situation is funnier. What happened there?
Right.
It's also, there's all these weird specific details, like the pigs on the beach and the weird, you know. But I did feel bad for the people who got screwed over at Fyre Festival, even though I'm sure a lot of those were wealthy young people who are able to like pay their way to get to the festival. I felt bad when they were, you know, sleeping in shit, those shitty tents and got like a weird dry sandwich.
Yeah.
I guess I felt bad for them. But mostly I don't feel that bad for any of these people. I suppose I felt bad for the guy who did he suck dick for water? What happened?
Ended up not actually doing it, but he was
okay.
He was prepared to. That was like the
I felt
big
bad for
meme.
That guy.
Yeah, there was like that was a big meme.
Yeah.
Out of that. I feel like there's not a lot of memeable moments out of this film.
No.
Yeah.
No, there's one going back to Olivia Jade. This is just going through her social media, which is again like everyone hates on it now. There's one video I came across where she's like moving into USC with, and I don't know if you know David Dobrik.
Oh, yes. I'm like very familiar with the recent David Dobrik things. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like her and him and they're like moving her into her USC dorm. And I was just like, this is did not age well.
No. Of all the things that have not aged well. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's so excited to go to college. And I mean, I felt bad for her. I think she knew what. I mean,
yeah.
I think she knew what was happening because she took that rowing picture.
Yeah, for sure.
So she must have known.
Yeah. Now, like, we got a rowing machine, honey. You want to do some we're going to snap some shots of you rowing. But she also didn't give a shit about going to college, right? Like, she didn't like school
right.
at all. That was the other thing that was, like, so obnoxious about it. It's just like, I don't even want to go to school. I fucking hate school. So
I know she's like, school sucks, and I want to like drop out of high school to work on my like makeup palette. But
she should have done that. That's what she should have done. Just because
that's what I was thinking. I was like, I guess, I mean, I liked college and I enjoyed like learning and going to those classes. And like, if I was the daughter of a really wealthy person, I would like to, even if I didn't have to, I think I would still want the college experience. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think I would. But like her spiel about when she was like, oh, I hate school, but also I'm like so lucky to be getting this education. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, you say that, but I don't think you give a shit. I don't really, you know.
If I had it to do over again, I've thought about this. Clearly, I think about a lot of, like, you know, my past and, like, roads not taken. I'm like, should have just gone to art school. I think it would have made a lot more sense. I think that would have been a better fit. It's
what did
expensive.
You study in school?
Oh, what didn't I study in school? I did, like, something called American Studies, which was own major. Yeah, make up your own thing, basically.
American Studies.
Yeah, man.
It's interesting.
It was one of the early just do what you like. And I just did what I liked.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, when I hear about people that I know that went to certain art schools, I'm like, yeah, I would have had more come out of that probably but I'm never gonna go to grad school. I'm just done. I'm not gonna do this stuff anymore.
Have you thought about it?
There was a point where I was like, maybe I should be a teacher. And then I did a little bit of work in schools and I was like, I don't think I want to be a teacher. Like I get along with them when I'm not responsible or, you know, an authority figure. I don't really want to be an authority figure. I kind of like bounced on that. I'm like, well, I'll just be in noise bands for like way too long and work in music.
Yeah. If money was no object, I would go back to school just because I liked being in school once I was in college because I did go to a school where you kind of invent your major and it's like all interdisciplinary learning where you are enrolled in like a program and then all your classes relate to each other and are like this all scheduled with each other. So it's not like you're taking this math class and this like art class and they have nothing to do with each other, which I really liked. Mm-hmm.
So you would go back to no Evergreen, basically. Money is no object if you wanted to go back to Evergreen, right?
No.
Is there a grad program?
They have like a couple grad. I would not go back to Evergreen because their only grad programs are for like, it's for what, like public administration and like masters in teaching. And not things
like
that I am.
State capital. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would have loved to just go to art school as well. It sounds fun. But a lot of those schools are very expensive.
If money was no object, either just infinite more school or getting paid to post on social media several times a day. That sounds like a torture. Actually, I would rather do the school than do the posting. Because it's like,
I'd rather do the school.
Yeah. When I see like, did you watch Fake Famous? That's the thing on HBO about influencers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, not great. But it was like, wow, it's actually kind of a lot of hard work for something that means nothing. So
I know. Yeah. Even like posting about, you know, comedy shows or like our podcast, I'm like, it's like I make like four posts a week. I'm like, ugh, so much work.
Yeah.
It's like, not really. I feel like, that's something I also don't like about doing comedy is kind of being forced to like self-promote and be on social media because it's not ideal.
Did you see that Paste article on hustle culture in comedy?
I did. Yeah, I did.
I don't know how many people, probably half the people that listen to this will have read that article.
I see it being referenced. Sorry to interrupt, but I see it being referenced several times a day. So I think a lot of people have read it.
So most someone's read a Paste article. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, there was sort of some valid points to it, I guess, but
I just remember, like, it says basically, like, you know, not all stage time is quality stage time. I'm like, well, we knew that. Like, sometimes it's just it's just like doing it to do it. I'm like, yeah, when you are really figuring it out, you just need to do it to do it. Like, I think the writer, I don't know, I believe they're a comedian as well. They're sort of,
yeah, I've met her before. She's funny.
Yeah. I think it's just like, I think it's like not, it's a valid take, I guess, but yeah, I think there's a lot like sort of learning, right? There's sort of like a bit of muscle memory to doing something over and over again, or just comfort. And like, that's, I guess some of education is that in general, like the idea of going to a college to learn a particular skill. I don't know. I mean, I clearly I didn't do it. Like, I didn't really follow through on much of anything. I wasn't like really good at rote memorization of anything. So now I just kind of extemporaneously talk and put on the internet. That's what this show is. I did take some film class. I will say, like, I took some film classes. I actually did take a documentary class. And I'm like, that probably was like the beginning of me like being interested in documentary. I did think maybe at some point, maybe I would make a documentary film. Like, I did a short documentary film in college. But, you know, it was like a collaborative thing. And I was just kind of like, ended up just being like, oh, I'm just going to kind of edit and stuff. But
I made a documentary in college too.
Oh, yeah. What was your topic?
Comedy.
Is that up anywhere? Or did you keep it pretty private?
It is up. It's on Vimeo. Oh, okay. And this guy Garrett, who we were in like a film program together, it was sort of like supposed to be like a little meta documentary about us making a documentary about comedy, and so we interviewed like this comedy duo from Seattle. Comedy duo from Seattle, comedy duo from Portland. Like a family friend who was actually on Last Comic Standing, and her shtick was like being like a stripper comedian, because she was a stripper who then started comedy. And then it was also kind of about, it was about us like doing a bad job making the documentary and us like also smoking too much weed or something. And also like me not knowing what I wanted to do, and then he wanted to be a director. And then it like ended with us like putting on a comedy night at my house in Olympia. But I'm not ashamed of it. I mean, it's like not something. I thought it was like a cute little thing we did.
Yeah, like the meta documentary approach. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is when we'll throw to a clip. We'll just throw to a clip.
And if she's not Harvard material and you really want to go there, we got to find a different route. We got to take a different path here. Here's that path. We're going to have someone take the test for you. What do you mean take the test? This guy for $15,000 is going to take the test.
This is absolutely unheard of. To make this happen, I can make scores happen, and nobody on the planet can make scores happen. Your kid won't even know it happened. It will happen as though she will think she's really super smart and she got lucky on a test, and you got a score now.
It's the home run of home runs.
And it works?
Every time.
What is the number?
The number on the testing is 75,000, okay? It's 75,000 to get any scores you want to get on the ACT or SAT.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So I was thinking about how I'm someone who, like, I sort of like, I like that when there's true crime that isn't super high stakes. And this feels like that to me, right? Like, it's not a life or death. It's no one life or death anywhere in any of this. Like, even when they go to prison, they're not going to a life or death prison. Like, no one's really – maybe if Rick Singer ends up getting, like, life in prison, that will be the highest stake. But like then the film's not done. Yeah, the film's not over until that guy. I feel like there's no closure in this film until like Rick Singer does get something. And I'm like, you know, after this last year, it's like I've been like talking to people about like, you know, like reading about like prison abolition and stuff. It's like, what's the right punishment for these white collar parents? Like, you know, if we get rid of prisons, how are we going to punish these people for what they've done?
I know. I mean,
make a documentary. I feel like that is the answer, is they each get a documentary made about them, about the terrible thing they did.
I mean, their reputations are like forever tarnished, which I feel like is for them a big part. Like, I don't know if Felicity Huffman can act in a movie ever again. I think her career is over. Like Lori Loughlin, who cares? Like, what was she? She was on like Fuller House. Like, who cares? Mm-hmm. But her reputation's tarnished forever. Felicity Huffman, William H. Macy, he is in the clear for some reason.
Yeah.
I know, at least, did you hear that Lori Loughlin and Massimo Giannulli, thanks Nick for putting that name in the chat, they also got sued by students from Stanford, I think, because they were like, you have delegitimized our, like, the prestige of like us going to Stanford. Now, like, people think that this is like meaningless that we went to Stanford because like anyone can get in, apparently, if you have money.
Not the Elizabeth Holmes Theranos. That didn't bring Stanford down, but Lori Loughlin did. No, that's a good point. I do think like it's good that we don't know who Felicity Huffman and William H. Macy's kid is. I feel like they might have managed to be unscathed because they weren't an influencer also. They were not a teenage influencer. It's hard to feel good, too sorry about Olivia Jade and her good buddy David Dobrik.
And Olivia Jade's sister, I think, also they paid for her to get in, which they don't talk about her much. And if you see a picture of her, you'll know. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, sorry. Snaps.
No.
Sister claws come out.
She's very... Yeah. I shouldn't have said that.
You're like, oh, no, she looks like John Stamos. No. Which would be great. If a woman looked like John Stamos, that'd be great for them. I would say, I think like the reputational destruction is almost enough. I mean, it just seems like it... How much is society damaged by this whole process, right? Like if you look at it as a social cost, like, is the FBI helping society? Is it making schools more equitable? Not really. I don't think it ultimately makes schooling more equitable. Is it a giant waste of resources? Oh, also, love the casting of the FBI agent. Who is that? I looked, so she's not named as a character, and I don't even know if it actually was a woman that actually was in there, but the actor who plays the lead FBI agent is Gillian Peterson. Didn't really recognize her from anything, but like there's really light blue button-up shirt, the very severe like Jane Lynch haircut. Just like listening in on the dumbest fucking conversations and like just reacting occasionally, like, what, you're lost in London? Who gives a shit? You know, like that's her job for years or more, just listening to every conversation that Rick Singer has. Also, how they like nail Rick Singer in a hotel room somewhere. I wish I could enjoy that stuff more. It was like kind of enjoyable.
I know.
It doesn't feel like any justice was achieved at all by this film. Even though, like, it's like, yes, we all love when rich people get taken down a peg, but it's not satisfying and it doesn't really, like, solve the problem. Yeah.
I agree. I agree that I feel like the FBI's resources could probably be, you know, better spent than on this, but, like, yeah, I also didn't really relate to how outraged people were on the internet that this was happening. And I'm like, okay, well, one, like, duh, this is happening. And two, like, Yeah, it feels like I'm like, okay, 50 people were like punished with like, okay, it's like a dent, I guess. It's like the smallest dent.
Yeah, of like him having worked, he claimed to have worked with like 700 different families. And someone in the trailer or in the intro being like, do you get a 2-for-1 deal with twins? Cause fertility. Right. I feel like, yeah, that's what's, it's very unsatisfying because like the thing that we all sort of were reacting to probably was just like, oh, I love that there was a little throw to Jared Kushner in here. Like Jared Kushner's dad obviously got him in. He's like, he's not a good student. This is him as a dorky teenager. Fuck Jared Kushner. Sure.
I know. I love that. There was like no, he really had no connection to this case, but they're just like, look at this rich fuck whose daddy paid for him to get into college. I was like, oh, okay. Well, there he is.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think like that's like the thing that everyone's looking at, like the nepotism in general and just like how everything is rigged. And like you said, it's kind of a no duh, but, I don't know. Like some people on the internet love this documentary. And I'm like, I don't know what there is to love about it. It's doing something. It's kind of almost as complicated as like it's not as complicated as The Big Short, which is like, it did a very good job of trying to take these big concepts and like, but those are concepts that had to do with like not directly with human being individuals. Whereas this is like, here's 50 individuals. Good luck keeping track of all these people. We gave you the guy from Full Metal Jacket to try to center it on. But
right.
Yeah, it's like, it's not, it means basically like the filmic equivalent of like the wall with the 3x5s and the string, right? It's just that. Thankfully they didn't make it 12 like episodes. That's the only thing I'd say this has its favor.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I was grateful for that because like I also something about especially like in the last couple of years, there are some documentary series where I'm like, I guess you must have made some kind of deal where you made some deal where they were like, okay, make 6 to 12 episodes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they really just stretch out the information in this way where I'm like, this is so dull. I guess this is like how you structure like the telling of the story, but it could have been a like 1.5 to 2 hour documentary easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We actually
like
did,
The Vow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What we learned recently from our interview with the people that made the Heaven's Gate series is like you pitch a certain number of episodes before you know exactly what you're dealing with. So they don't like to, you can't under deliver, but you can over deliver. I believe people have been over delivering.
Cause you must get paid so much more for producing like, 10 hour long episodes than 1 2-hour documentary. It makes sense money wise, but it's not like enjoyable to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I think like this does summarize, there were like a lot of details I didn't know that I did get from this because like I didn't follow it like so closely. So like, I'm like, yeah, I get that there's something to do with the rowing Photoshop and there's something to do with Lori Loughlin and there's something to do with this dude, but I didn't like have the triangulation of all those things. It's unsatisfying because again, like who does this teach a lesson to? Only other rich people can't afford to do this, right? That's the only people that are like, well, I'll think twice about throwing down for my next child. Like that's the only people that are really impacted. The private school system, I don't really care about. If we wanted to like, I don't think it's true. They say in the end, like sort of like, just go to a community college. It's fine. Like you can transfer out of a community college if you want. But I do think there's like something about this Ivy League mentality of like, what, even if you don't know what you're doing, you can stumble into prosperity just by rubbing shoulders with other children of elites. And that's,
I think,
annoyingly true.
It's so true. It's very annoyingly true. And I'm, it's interesting about the community college transferring to another college thing because I'm sure there are certain like rich families where, like you're not going to go to community college. You're going to go straight to some, either a UCLA or an Ivy League school. But I remember coming out of my high school, a lot of people would go to Santa Monica College or like a community college, but like specifically Santa Monica College because I was on the west side. But you would have a much higher likelihood of getting into like a UCLA transferring from community college than you would applying straight from high school. And then you save money from 2 years of college and you have like a degree from UCLA. It's like, it's a much better idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it makes more sense. I wish more people kind of knew about that as an option, because part of it is just like, I think in any undergrad situation, it's sort of like it just depends on how motivated you are. A lot of these people just are not going to be motivated because they have nothing to gain or lose. Like, they're going to be fine no matter what. And so spending a little time in that community college, the trenches, and if you do pretty well, and you might do well if you take it more seriously than other people, then you're just setting yourself up for the hard work of, you know, a UC school. So that could be another documentary that we talk about, just like our theories about how to get into a transfer to another school. But it's just like the system is rigged. We need something like, publicly funded education. That is great for everyone. But this has got to go all the way back to just, the entire like preschool system and like the school, the prison pipeline and all this other stuff that we did not get into. It is just kind of like, hey, watch some rich people get put in handcuffs. And it's like, I guess, abolish all cops are bastards, abolish the prisons, but, punish these people a little bit, that's we can all agree that that's fine. I mean, or punish them with a documentary. That's my ultimate, that's my solution. It should have just been a public shaming via documentary for all these people. And then the FBI, we could have taken that FBI money and put it into schools. That would have been a better solution. That's my theory.
Yeah, I wonder, it should have been part of their sentencing to then maybe like donate money to some kind of like underprivileged like education fund or something like that.
Maybe
I don't know about it.
Right. It's like the prison labor that they have to do is like you're a lunch lady at a high school or something. You're like, weren't you on Full House? Amazing. Like, yeah. Yeah. Enjoy your meal.
That's a really good
more
idea.
Creative punishments. We just should have gotten more creative. The FBI did not creative enough. Like they're such sticklers for rule. Like the thing about like wire fraud and all these things is like, oh, it is boring rules you broke. I didn't know they cared so much about this kind of bribery. It's more probably the fact that he was getting all these donations to a nonprofit and then turning around and using it for something else. That's got the money laundering aspect of it. It has to be like the thing they were most interested in. Love that a dude that did it flipped on him, right? Like there was another guy who's just like, well, hey, I know about something else that you can investigate if you consider me a corroborating witness. So I love that that was just kind of like what went down this path. Also, like, yeah, like the shitty way that he would just be very like, yeah, so when he was like working with the FBI, how he would just try to like get people to be like, so in exchange for the money you gave me, I will get your child into the college of which you were requesting. And then the other people on the other line being like, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And that sends him to jail.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. If I had a kid, I would not go to these lengths to get them into a good school. In conclusion,
yeah,
I would not do that. I would, yeah, they could go to Santa Monica College. It's a great community college.
I believe it. Pasadena Community College sounds great. I've been on the campus, I think, one time. Seems good.
Yeah, Lance Smith went there.
Oh yeah, and then there's those
those
Claremont schools look kind of interesting. I kind of like wish I knew more about those when I was younger, because they're like that whole family of weirdo. I know so many weirdos that came out of those Claremont schools.
Yeah, it's funny because, I also could have gotten into a better college. I just like I had no idea what I was doing, and I had, like, no guidance. Like, I just, like, applied to this pretty good private school in Washington on a whim, and I, like, got in, and I was like, oh, should I have tried harder? And then I went to Evergreen, which was fine.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good. I, you know, it's great music scene.
Yeah. I mean, I basically picked a college based on a music scene, to be honest. I was looking at San Diego or Berkeley, essentially.
Yeah.
And I didn't get into UCLA. I would have considered
UCLA. Oh, really?
No, I did not get in. I did apply to Georgetown just as, like, kind of like a long shot. Because, like, I went to this Catholic school. Like, and they might just, like that I went to this Catholic school. And then I think I was it's kind of like a conditional or like a wait list or something. Like, well, if someone else doesn't want to go, you might get
it. Oh, you got wait listed? That's a big deal,
though. It's been a while. I can't remember too much about it. I remember having to go meet this guy, an alumni from this college.
That's something.
And be like, well, what are you interested in? I'm like, well, you know, this DC punk scene was very pivotal. Like, being like this guy is like an insurance salesman or something in Santa Clara. Being like, okay, I don't know if this kid, I'm not going to write a thing for this kid. He wants to play guitar or something. So, yeah.
Yeah.
At Berkeley, I it's hard to picture my life if I hadn't been at Berkeley, because I feel like the majority of my college experience is just like not living in San Jose anymore and just like living where stuff was going on. And
totally. I grew up in LA where stuff was going on, but I feel like it had a bad influence on me in a lot of ways. It was good for me to go to Olympia because it's like very, you know, there's a big, like, you know, Riot Girl started there. There's like a lot of strong women who live in Olympia and go to Evergreen, and like just very punk and like progressive people live there. Yeah. And in LA and in high school, I was like kind of like a shitty little like edgelord who had really a really bad point of view. And I feel like Olympia helped me to kind of shed some of that.
Oh.
And I was like,
Yeah. I mean, I'm really glad I didn't have Twitter when I was in high school, or like didn't have documentation of some of my high school zines and stuff, not even stuff that I wrote, but like I published stuff for other people in my zine. And like in retrospect, I'm like, yikes, what was that? Ugh.
I had some bad ideas. I shouldn't even say them out loud.
No, well, like we'll save those for Ads Wizard. Viva, thanks for coming on and talking about this weird thing. Would you tell people to watch this or no? I feel like we kind of just explained it all to them.
I would tell them to maybe just like Google what happened with the scandal and don't bother watching the documentary. Yeah. Maybe just like watch American Movie instead.
Definitely watch American Movie and Home Movie if you can find it. Yeah, I would also say we kind of saved you some effort by watching this for you. And in conclusion, we want free education for everyone. And, you know, Lori Loughlin would be a great lunch lady. That's my other summation from that. Aviva, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Livin' La Viva Loca on Twitter. And you can listen to the Ad Wizards podcast on Apple or Stitcher or Spotify or wherever, pretty much wherever you want.
Yeah, except Pandora yet. Have you done that?
Except
Pandora. You gotta send it in. To send it in.
I sent it. They have not accepted me yet.
You know what? I have a side door.
Oh, okay.
There's a side door deal. If you want to get okay, we'll talk about, I think there might be someone recording this conversation. Ads Wizard looks great. I look forward to hearing more about Ads Wizard. And we do talkies on first and third Fridays on Zoom. And that's like a super fun show that's been going on for nigh on a decade now. Pretty much that's been our grad school, doing talkies. That's been my grad school. Thanks a lot, Aviva, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com, recapping reality since 2015. Our theme song was written by David Siegel, and our show was engineered by Will Scoville. Our associate producer is Nick Kultus.
Please donate to the show through our Patreon page, patreon.com/supdocpodcast. If you want to help us in other ways, please share the show with a friend. Join the Doc Talk and check out our hot takes, pictures, and videos on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We're SupDoc Podcast on all of those platforms. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can find Paco and George's comedy gigs when those are happening again on the About Us page on the site. And SupDoc is by doc fans for doc fans. So if you want to advertise, got a film, or opinions you want to share, just hit us up. We'd love to hear from you and what you're docking out on. Email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.